GovX Data Points, where we talk all things government and data. I'm your host, Eric Reese, as always, with co-host Sharon Paley. This week, Carter Hughley is on assignment again, this time in Los Angeles, talking with two data gurus, Raed Ghani and Hunter Owens.
Raed Ghani is the director of the Center for Data Science and Public Policy, chief data scientist at the Urban Center on Computation and Data, and research director at the Computation Institute, all at the University of Chicago. Meanwhile, Hunter Owens is a data scientist in the city of Los Angeles. So we're going to turn it over to Carter as he hits the streets of LA with Raed and Hunter.
All right, this is Carter Hughley with the Center for Government Excellence. I'm here with Raed Ghani and Hunter Owens here in the city of Los Angeles. We're recording this outside, so apologies for the noise, but wanted to give the listeners a real sense for what it's like here in Los Angeles. We wanted to start by describing who we are, why we're here, and how that relates to work that cities are doing around the country to try to use data and evidence to improve their practices. So, Raed, why don't we start with you? Who are you, and what are you doing here in LA?
Yeah, so Raed Ghani, I am at the University of Chicago and run a group called Center for Data Science and Public Policy, where we focus on working with governments and nonprofits on better using data to improve policy decisions. And the last few days, I've been here in Los Angeles with Carter and Hunter, working with the learning sort of about different parts of the city and how they use data for different policy areas, but also doing a training for some of the people in different agencies in the mayor's office on what are the possibilities, how is data being used across the country internationally in cities, what are the opportunities for cities, and how do you get started doing that?
And how do you know Hunter?
My name's Hunter Owens. Currently, I'm the data scientist at the Information Technology Agency for the City of Los Angeles. But prior to doing that, I was worked at the Center for Data Science for Public Policy in a variety of capacities.
Which is your organization and entity. So tell me about what the Center for Data Science and Public Policy does and what cities around the country should know about it that relates to what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, as the very descriptive name suggests, we're at the intersection of the overhyped data science world and the under-resourced public policy world. I just came up with that. I haven't even rehearsed that.
Well, why do you say overhyped? I think that's an important thing to pause on.
A lot of us have been using data to do useful things for a long, long, long time, and the name of that discipline has changed over time. So the simplest form of it used to be called something to do with, you know, data analysis, data analytics. It was predictive analytics, business intelligence, machine learning, big data, data science, artificial intelligence. So vendors keep coming up with new terms that essentially mean the same thing. The current trendy term in the private sector is artificial intelligence. But I think in the government world, it just hasn't caught up yet. Legacy is data science and big data are still the current
buzzwords.
But yeah, they all mean the same thing.
Yeah. All right. So going back to what the center does in that space, how are you helping cities, and not just cities, other organizations, have the real capabilities that aren't just buzzwords to make some stuff happen?
Yeah, so we typically focus on three types of things. One is training. Obviously, we're a university, so training for students is important, but also training for people in governments and nonprofits. Second thing we do is collaborative projects. So we spend a lot of time working on data-intensive projects that are primarily, you know, they're pitched and proposed by cities or government agencies or nonprofits, and then we partner with them to help them build a solution. And that often is, you know, we're sort of different from a typical university group where output is not a paper. Paper might be a byproduct, but the output is some analysis and ideally code that can be used to operationalize the analysis that we've done, so it can actually help make operational decisions and actions. So that's the, so we do training projects, and then as we do these projects, we our goal is sort of create open source tools and data that can be used by cities to start off from. I think what we've sort of found is that a lot of government agencies and cities and nonprofits are not doing more of this work because, one, they don't have access to people who know how to do this work. They don't have access to tools. They have to start from scratch typically, and they don't know what they can do. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we've done, is try to fill in those gaps by training people, capacity building, by showing them what's possible, and then giving them access to tools that are designed for the problems that those agencies face, as opposed to kind of generic tools or tools that are designed for corporate problems.
So what are a couple example projects that might be relevant to any city, no matter what shape or size?
So I mean, one of the things with data is that, you know, you're going to have to be a certain size to be at least this tall to play.
And ride this ride.
Unfortunately, yeah. So unless you can figure out a way to find peer cities to group together. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our projects are with mid to large size cities. And we work across different areas, education, health, criminal justice, public safety. Projects we've done are sort of done a lot of public health projects. One of them was around preventing lead poisoning by predicting which kids are at risk of lead poisoning and then doing preventative inspections as opposed to reactive post-poisoning inspections. That's the current regime. We worked on infrastructure problems where we worked with Syracuse, New York, to predict which water pipes are likely to break so they can start doing preventative maintenance and coordinating with the roadworks department. We've done projects around criminal justice, working with Johnson County, Kansas, on identifying which people are at risk of incarceration and seeing if they can be matched with early assistance programs around housing or mental health or other medical services. Done projects in policing we're in LA around early intervention systems where to identify officers at risk of adverse incidents and justified use of force and injuries and complaints. And so we've kind of gone across a lot of areas with the intention being that there's a common need for data-driven thinking and people and tools across all these areas. And there's a lot of similarities that you can use if you start thinking across as opposed to going deep into them.
I'll make the assumption, because we're in a similar line of work, that some of those projects have been more successful than others. What are some of the common themes across the projects that you've had the most success with that speak to sort of the key ingredients that a city needs to have in place in order to succeed?
Yeah, I mean, for data projects, I think there are three ingredients, right? One is you have to have the data that's necessary to solve this problem. Without that, as much you might have willingness and buy-in and leadership, but if you don't have the data, you can't do anything. Second is that you do need the expertise to do the work, mm-hmm. and a lot of cities today don't have enough of it. They have pockets of it, but they don't have it across the board. So let's say if you have both of those, what's then required is as you were mentioning yesterday, a champion, where you've got commitment from the city to take what's being done and try to actually implement it, maintain it, sustain it, and then try to change policies and workflows based off of that.
Yeah.
So the analysis is, I'd like to say it's the easy part. It's not easy, but of all of those things, that's the part I know I can do.
Yeah.
What's uncertain is the city ready to change their behavior, change their policies based on what people like Hunter are doing?
Yeah.
Because that's harder to find.
Yeah. Well, let me pull you in, Hunter. So you've seen both the side of the house that's providing the technical expertise and the assistance to cities, but you're from here and now you work here. So what have you observed going from sort of an academic group of people who have a tremendous amount of skill to really being on the ground here in the city? What is sort of the observations you have that you...
Yeah, so I think what I continually have to revise upwards is how much work you have to do before you start a project. Which I think of my projects here, most of them are going to have had more pre-work than, you know, if you define when you start a data science project as in when some human types in R or IPython and starts munging data or pulling code, writing code, that to delivery of service is going to be, or delivery of a prototype is going to be a much shorter amount of time than the amount of work it took you to all get onto the point and same place where you can have somebody start to do that technical work. And I think we often start from what are the technical solutions to the problem, and we should, I have been trying to reframe it as why are we here and why are we doing this? And then the technical solution comes from that.
Well, so somewhere between what you just said, like why are we here and the technical solution, I feel like is this other middle of data management, which is sort of like, if I heard you correctly, like there's a lot of preparatory work that needs to lead up to conducting analysis of data, right? How do you get people to care about that sort of unsexy data collection, data management, good hygiene practices type stuff?
So I found that our, you know, folks who are actually dealing with the data are, we call them the systems groups here a lot of the times. They're very invested in wanting to clean up that data because they have to deal with the pains of it being bad all the time, but often haven't received the time. But you know, this is city government. We're not overflowing in billions of dollars of cash like a, you know, corporation would be. So one of the things has been saying, okay, we're not going to clean up the entirety of your database, your entire warehouse, but we can work on each individual portions by tying it to a specific project goal or outcome that has that leadership level buy-in. And that way, and including that in as part of the project, like if you want to get to predicting displacement, these data sets need to be regularly updated, cleaned, and maintained, and your systems group says this is going to be the cost for it.
Yeah.
And that's when leadership's like, okay, that's why I care about clean data, because if you just come in with a pitch of clean data for clean data's sake, everybody's, you know, you're going to get cut budget time.
So what are some example projects that you're getting to work on here in the city that are like exciting to you because you're seeing examples of people caring about that stuff?
Yeah, so I think going back to this displacement one is really where the big initial project is actually just getting to the point where we can say this record in a database, we have 8 different databases that we've identified that talk about housing and rental level data. But there are no join keys. So you can't say, what are all the records that apply to 211 North Spring, which happens to be the address we're at? Yeah.
That's where we are right now?
Yeah, that's where we are right now.
In Chinatown,
yeah. So the Far East Plaza, who are all the businesses there? You know, you'd have to go into 8 separate databases and check, and sometimes it's known as 211 North High instead of 211, you know, all the different...
It's a little bit weird that you know this address, by the way. Oh, it's all gone. All right.
Fair.
My magic tricks are over.
You just had this memorized.
So that is really exciting to be able to tie that all together, provide a service that's going to be used by our analysts at our Housing and Community Investment and Development Department. And we're actually partnering with students at UCLA to help us build that, which is really exciting. And then where we're going to hopefully go from there is towards a bigger vision of, like, predicting displacement via LSAC removal, via what happens when, if you didn't know, LA is building out more metro lines than anywhere else in the country. So we're doubling the size of our train network over the next 20 years.
I did not know that.
So what happens as, you know, we've doubled it in the last 20 years, so how do we know what happens?
Yeah.
We build a new train line. What's changing in sort of our rent-stabilized housing stock? Is it growing? Is it shrinking? So those are questions we haven't been able to answer aside from painstaking. You know, okay, we did it for the year 2012.
Yeah.
It's now June 2014, which is like actually how long it used to take. We've gotten it down to about 6 months, and we're hopefully going to get it down to now instantaneously. We can say that.
Yeah. So this, I have this question for both of you. So this theme that I think we see in a lot of cities around, like, it's difficult to understand, like, as a location and all of the various services that are associated with that location and all the things that are happening to that location, it seems like almost every place you go, an organization or jurisdiction has a difficult time sort of marrying up all of its data to really understand like what's happening in a place. Why is that? A, do you agree that that's sort of typically difficult for people? And B, why do you think that is the case? And what prohibits people from really getting there?
So yeah, I don't think that's uniquely true of place. I think every organization has trouble linking every entity.
People to, yeah.
People, okay. If you're a product company,
that's fair.
You can't link products together. If you're
record linking,
So I think it's primarily because every large organization has designed their data systems for their own needs. Right? Mm-hmm. So every group inside a large, whether it's a company or a government or a nonprofit, they each have six views of the same entity because they're all using it for very different purposes. Mm-hmm. Some of them are processed, you know, if you're doing home inspections, you care about the entire building. You don't care about the units in there. You just want to use the whole building in compliance. So you don't care about that. Yeah. If you're dealing with, rental units, then you care about individual units. If you are dealing with trash pickup, you care about very different.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's unique to place. I think we were all used to dealing, and none of this data was ever designed. Data systems were designed to be integrated and analyzed together.
Yeah.
So now, like every other organization, you realize we can connect them together, but then you have legacy.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's unique. I think.
But can I pick up on that point, though? Because I think everywhere I go, you hear somebody say, I wish government ran like a business. Do you see the same themes Absolutely. In the business world?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every business I've ever encountered runs an N-year data integration strategy.
Yeah.
And then they hire a bunch of people and they build these systems. And then years later, they become obsolete and they start again.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a solved problem anywhere.
Yeah. And Hunter, I today heard about an example of something you're working on where the city is, and tell me if I misdescribe this, the city is basically providing various resources to make places more affordable, and they want to deduplicate, how do I know what I'm giving to each location? And you're helping them sort of automate that process because it's manual.
So we can do that right now, and we do it for the mayor's monthly Homestat program.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in on the night before Homestat was due, and it is stressful because it's like, how do we, and there's often, it's prone to errors.
What is Homestat?
So Homestat is an initiative to really bring about a picture of where housing is going in the city of Los Angeles. Okay. What are our point-in-time homeless counts looking like? How many new units of affordable housing construction do we have?
Is it a stat program, just like CompStat and those kind of things?
Okay. Exactly. So, okay. Which is really exciting that we're getting there. It's just producing that report.
Yeah.
We've gotten to the back-to-basics stuff reoriented, and that's coming out of one database is now automated and dumps into a PDF once a month. And that's, I think, going back to what did I learn in government is how huge automating dumping into something into a PDF can be.
Yeah.
And just how you have to start at a different level than if you're a technical and academic organization.
Yeah. And how do you find allies in this work? I think one of the things I've observed since I've been here is that you guys have a lot of people who care a lot about this in different parts of the city. How are you finding each other and supporting each other and connecting each other?
Yeah, so one of the things I try to do is keep everybody, you may be in the Department of Cultural Affairs and I'm in ITA and you're in the Office of Finance, but trying to we did a show, tell, and explain like a month or two ago. I'm like, what projects are you working on? How do you build it? Just because generally each department has resources to hire, a number of data people that's fairly small. The big exception in this is the police, who have a lot of data people, but that's because they train enlisted officers as data folks.
Yeah.
And you've got a local company just IPO'd today helping you keep in touch with each other.
Yeah. Although that would point out that doing official business over Snapchat would be a violation of the California Public Records Act, and we do not actually do that. Rather, we use city compliant Gmail. So where we're going is sort of peer learning and Are you, if you describe yourself as your job has data in the role, because we have a very rigorous classification system before you can get hired at the city.
Yeah.
In most cases, exceptions abound, but you know, so if you describe yourself as a data person,
mm-hmm.
We have a Slack channel now. We meet every Tuesday just to talk about what our issues are and like.
You have a whole cafe apparently that everybody sort of meets at.
Yeah, so the other joke is I say New York has Civic Hall, we've got Cafe Demitas, which is this one little coffee shop in between the city and county buildings that we all run into each other at. I believe I actually crashed the controller's data and donuts meeting when they were planning that accidentally when I just ran to for once. So, and I think it's the controller's office is doing some great work with the county on doing getting all the data for just once a month for data and donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And Hack for LA serves as a really great community meeting spot. So it's like there's now like a crowd of peers.
Yeah.
That hopefully will improve. Like, I'm not one person trying to do the data needs for an N-100 person department, but rather I have a bunch of peers who will help me through my issues, even if they are in a different reporting structure.
And, right, are you seeing when you go from city to city or organization, is there a similar movement happening, or is it different for different places?
I think it's very different in different places. You've got, LA being larger, there are more people, so you can find enough of them. But, you know, I was talking to somebody in Milwaukee recently, and like, oh, I wish we had that in Milwaukee. And I was talking to somebody else in Mecklenburg, Charlotte, and they were talking about, oh, you know those other people? Can you introduce me to them so we can start? I certainly think it helps having that informal, bottom-up community to, at a minimum, commiserate.
Yeah.
But once that goes away initially, you start hopefully being more productive, start building these relationships. Because, you know, more and more you sort of, even though we talk about data scientists in quotes, the skills that people have are very different.
Yeah.
You know, somebody might be really good at doing certain types of data integration. Somebody else might be really good at optimization. Somebody else might be really good at predictive. Somebody else might be a natural language processing person.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they all get bundled. And so if you want to do a lot of these problems well, you need all of those skills, and they don't typically come in one person. And so for cities to be each department to hire one of each doesn't make sense because you don't need them full time all the time. So part of it is, can you pool these resources together? But then two is, can you go out, like Hunter's talking about partnering with UCLA and saying, hey, there are certain in-depth things we need. They're not important in the beginning. Once you've framed and scoped a problem, can you hand off, or maybe you do the first tier solution yourself, the first pass, and then you give the second pass to somebody else. But while they do that, you move on to the next problem and you solve the first pass. And are there ways of partnering where you can set up things up front, not have them on critical path, and then let them take, you know, deeper passes at that?
So if you're a city and you're somebody who wants to be moving in the right direction, you want to be partnering with the right people, but you don't have any money, how do you set up partnerships?
My program, we don't have a ton of budget, but we have extraordinary willingness from our local universities to come in and partner with us and go with us on this, you know, data journey. And I have been incredibly impressed by how willing folks are to say, like, how can I help? Like, what do we need to do? And I think what's critical is, like, get a little bit of an understanding of the bureaucratic structure of your local university ecosystem, or even if you're in a smaller city or smaller town without a large number of local universities, any number of universities are looking, because they've got master's programs in data science where they have to do final projects before they turn it in. They have intro to data visualization courses where they're going to be willing to make dashboards around, you know, open data sets. They have PhD-level researchers and policy labs like DSAP that will spend 2 years figuring out how to build a really complex model and how to deploy it. So figuring out how big of a problem you're trying to tackle in those first few meetings, and then you can track it out for the first pass solution is really, it's really lucky. And I think there's so many places that are willing to do this work at pretty low cost, and just frees up a lot of time. It's very hard to be somebody who takes 15 meetings a week and codes.
Yeah.
You know.
I was coding last night. I already had 25 meetings.
Well, you're a little bit of a unicorn.
And a staff of how many?
All right, so let's end on this note. If you've got just one bit of advice, because I think one of the reasons we're here in LA is to talk with city folks on how to get started building the bridge between I care about this problem and I want to change this behavior as a result of caring about it so much and studying the evidence. So if you're giving one piece of advice to a city who's also wanting to get started, to go from like, there's a problem I care about to changing behavior, what's the one thing you would tell them to do? Either one.
I would tell them to trust your lower level staff. If you're a city leader or you just don't feel, if you don't know how to describe the fields on the data set that you need to be describing, you're just going to have to trust that there are people in your organization who do and give them permission to fail. Because one of the things that's been huge for us is with all the projects where we get leadership finance is they know that this is something new and this might not work out perfectly well, but we're all going to learn, and that's going to make it more likely that the next project succeeds. So saying, I trust you, I want to see you grow on this, there's a, you know, here's some universities to reach out to where I contacted a couple of professors, and seeing where some of your mid to low level staff runs with that is huge, because you're just, as a city leader, you know, that's been huge for us, that buy-in from our leadership to just sort of run with these things.
Yeah. What's your one piece of advice?
Yeah, so I'm going to put a Kellyanne Conway on
that. I don't know.
You asked. Or use media training. Right? So if you have a problem that you think is important for your city and you want to get that solved, I don't think there's going to be a magic bullet, right? I don't think there is that. If you just did one thing, you know, it's going to solve all your problems. But I think you have to set up an environment where people are willing to spend time and solve that problem, which means you have to do the hard work of defining and scoping the problem in a way that can be packaged and solved. Two, you're going to have to, if you get something from that team that you're working with, you're going to have to put your whatever credits you have, reputation on the line to get make sure that that gets used.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that track record of getting people good problems and getting them implemented and used, then nobody's going to trust you to give you that time. And we see that all the time where we work with cities all the time and the biggest challenge we face is follow through from the city side of, hey, we've produced something. If we don't see it getting used, then there's no motivation for us. You know, all of a sudden, it's because we want to make an impact. And that impact not happening, people are going to go somewhere else. And right now, there is a lot of enthusiasm among sort of civic tech people, among students, among people out there who want to help, who want to do something. I don't think we have good infrastructure set up in governments to take advantage of that help.
Yeah.
Right now, I think there are pockets of people who are trying, but we haven't quite figured out a systematic way of taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
So figuring that out and channeling that energy and enthusiasm and seeing that turn into impact, I think that's sort of the sustainable way, and I think we're in the early stages of that.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to scale this type of work that's happening.
Okay.
Yeah. I think just it will be interesting to see how the first generation of folks that... a loud bus. The first generation of folks who have their full-time job in a city government being implementing these type of projects, so like Candace Faber in Seattle, who's their civic technology advocate, myself, are just sort of, I only started this job a few months ago. We're just sort of, is this going to increase, I'm curious to see if this increases our rate of seeing a project through to implementation.
Yeah.
Now that there's somebody, like my full time is dedicated to seeing these projects through.
Yeah.
Which makes it easier because I'm just responding to emails that have been dropped and all that sort of jazz.
So. Yeah. Well, Hunter Owens, City of Los Angeles, Ray Ghani, University of Chicago, thank you for your work. And if you want to get in touch with either of them, we'll put their contact information on the podcast website. So thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks to Carter for being on assignment again this week, and thanks to Raeed and Hunter for joining us. If you want to learn more about their different data science topics and expertise, you can check out their websites, which we'll have in the show notes.
Thank you for joining us. See you next time to find out where the data points.